three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff wraps it up.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back, NBL Pocket Podcast. Just Joseph here for today. Andrew won't be with us. I was honestly just sitting around looking at the TV guide, and I saw that Thursday is going to be a big night of NBL basketball. Southeast Melbourne are going to host Perth, and Cairns are going to host Tasmania. And I just got really fired up looking at those lineups. I got really, really excited, and I thought I'd give some picks. I might even email Andrew in the near future and attach his picks somewhere in the description of this episode. But for me, it's just me talking about this one. Really excited, especially for the Southeast Melbourne Perth game. They're very close on the ladder. They're offensive style teams. They've both got strength and they've both got really glaring weaknesses. So let's go through it. Southeast Melbourne finished on top of Perth. They're going to be hosting them at John Cain Arena. Southeast Melbourne are $1.60 to win, Perth $2.26. That's according to sportsbet.com.au. In the season, Perth lost the season series. Southeast Melbourne won the season series 2-1. Funnily enough, most of the wins, Southeast Melbourne did get a win at Perth, but they also won in Melbourne. Looks like Southeast Melbourne really had the points advantage as well, winning one game. The last meeting between the pair, 112-91. Really interesting game. And if you're on Twitter, please get in contact with me with your picks and why you picked that pick and think it at NBL Pocket Pod. I'd be really keen to hear who people think is going to win and why. Here's what I think. These are my keys for the game and also my rationale for my pick, which I'll announce later. But I think a lot of people look to home court in this game. I don't think it's a huge consideration for a couple of reasons. Here's where it is a consideration. Perth have to fly all the way from Perth to Melbourne. That's a 4 and a bit hour flight on average. I forget if it's longer on the way there or the way back. I think it's longer on the way from Melbourne to Perth. But nonetheless, it's an average of 4 hours. That's the equivalent of flying from London, England to Likhachovsky in Russia. This is a long flight. People in Australia may not think it, or people of the world may not think it because you're traveling within the one continent. But when you break it down, that's an international flight. It's a huge flight, and it does matter. But that's a deficiency for Perth, but I like their strengths in a particular one thing. As far as both teams go, there's not going to be any defense played in this game. Neither team plays any defense. Perth don't rebound. Perth don't defend. And the matchup against Creek is going to be, and Williams is going to be critical. Less about Williams. I find Williams kind of clumsy, and I think you can mitigate him in pick and roll and combat him. It's Creek who's going to be the tougher one. I'll be very interested to see who goes to him early. Will it be Travers? Will it be Manic? Will it be Wagstaff? Will it be Thomas in any combination for how long? That's going to be really cool to see what happens. Speaking about this one, neither team has any depth. Perth don't play anyone off the bench. Really has shown all year that he's not prepared to do that. Hasn't done it. Whereas Southeast Melbourne have been more prepared to play their bench with the same level or lack of output. So that'll be something to watch. Is someone going to pop who doesn't normally have big games? You would be banking on it being a member of the home team, just because of the familiar surroundings and the energy of the crowd, but looking at the actual talent that's there to do it, I'm not so convinced there's going to be anyone of that ilk. Health. Thomas is looking unlikely, but will play. There's all this talk coming out of there, and then Southeast Melbourne, Brokoff, they're saying he's going to play, and he's big, he can shoot, he's one of the few who can on Southeast Melbourne. Whew. So my advice is stay glued to Twitter, stay glued to nbl.com.au, and see who's healthier of the two. I think no matter what, Thomas is going to play. And more the point, really is going to play him. Even if Thomas is at half speed, he's going to get played. And I think he can still be effective in that. Whereas Brokhoff, I think, being a local, and we know they're very precious, and also the emotion of it, he'll sit more, I think. And this is really what it comes down to for me, strategy. And I'm getting to my pick. This is building to an arrow point. Really's shown a killer mentality. He's been willing to cull Norton and Blanchfield's career because they just don't fit into what he's trying to do. Simon Mitchell has not shown that so much, much more seemingly, more Mr. Nice Guy. But then to play the other side of the coin is, Really's got a 2-year deal after this season, whereas Mitchell is coaching for his life. If ever there was a time for him to be brutal with his rotations and cutthroat with his strategy and how he discusses it, implements it, and conveys it, this is the game for him. Simon, they're a team that typically floats in and out of games. We're going to see how focused they are to the scout. Here's my pick. And I go off a very simple rule in basketball. This is an offensive game. And it's a game of talent. It's one ball, 10 people on the court. One guy can have it most of the time. So I always ask the question, who is the best player on the floor and which team has that best player on the floor? And the answer is very clear. And the answer is Perth with Bryce Cotton. Creek is a very good player, but he's not even close to Bryce Cotton. And coming off the strength of his worst game of his career, that is fuel on the fire. Adding to that, missing out on the MVP, slight divergence here. Cotton had to get lucky to win that MVP, had a really great game after the voting had been decided, which is very peculiar. Cook's had the hype train. He's on the East Coast. These things matter. There was more talk around him. There's a sort of intellectual fatigue with Cotton. He's taken for granted. We've seen a lot of him. He's always around. He's always good. Gets boring to vote for him. And then also the simple fact of Cotton's agent, Adam Pensack, is far less vocal than Cook's agent in Aaron or Daniel Moldova. And all power to them. They represent their clients incredibly vocally and hands-on. And in this particular occasion, I think it has paid dividends for Cooks, who had a great year and was very MVP deserving. Could have gone either way. My vote would have almost begrudgingly have gone to Cotton. I don't like the talent around him. And when the award is value as far as what you get out of him, as opposed to Cooks, who's got Walton, who was in the NBL first team, the Wildcats didn't have anyone even close to... Well, Thomas was relatively close to NBL second team. If he's not in there, no, I don't think he is. The drop-off is just major. And the best local in Sydney is Vasiljevic, whereas flip on Perth, it's Travers, who's had a down year. So for me, he was the MVP. But I'm certainly not, don't feel aggrieved or hurt or shocked that Cooks won it at all. But putting aside the campaign, for him to win it. He did enough on the floor to warrant that award. Coming back to this game though, Perth is my pick. Cotton's the best player on the floor and he plays for the Wildcats. Both benches are bad. Key guys are hurt. But really has shown to me, I've got written here the clearer head, but I think the better word is more cutthroat. Head. Head? Throat? Cut? Cut head. Cutthroat head. And I'll bring up a little stat here. 32-27-25. That, and I haven't averaged that out, but you can if you've got your calculator at home. They are the scoring tallies for Bryce Cotton against Southeast Melbourne. 2 in Perth, 1 in Melbourne. So against Southeast Melbourne, Cotton had his 4th, 10th and 12th highest scoring games of the season. No top team has conceded more points to Bryce Cotton than Phoenix. And for that reason, I think Perth are going to upset Melbourne. not with great confidence, if I can be honest about it. But I'm making that pick. Yeah. Yeah, I am. Jumping on the other game. This is going to be a quick pod, maybe 10, 12 minutes tops, because the other game after at 8:30, the game before was at 6:30, this one's at 8:30, if you're on the East Coast, pardon me. And Cairns and Tasmania, Cairns hosting Tasmania, Cairns $1.48, Jack Jumpers $2.53, that's according to sportsbet.com.au. The season series is 2-1 in favour of the Taipans, winning pretty comfortably. 106-84 in the first meeting between the two teams in Tasmania. 91-82 in Tasmania for two Cairns wins. And then an 85-80 victory for Tasmania in Cairns. I only have one note written here. You could talk about the strengths and weaknesses of either team. For me, you know, I try to take Ockham's razor to these games, and if he's listening, Dan Ewing gave me one of the better pieces of advice about this league in the NBL. Injuries kill, because you just don't have the money spend, you don't have the flexibility of movement. And I can see that in this particular series, injuries just, I can't look past Majette's injury. Point guard plays big minutes, about 30 per game. Jared Weeks now steps up. Jared Weeks, very capable player, no doubt about it, but it just brings everything, and he's not a particularly very dissimilar player to Majette, more of a shooter, scorer, slasher. Whereas Majette's a real set up the ball guy, and he's been such a workhorse for Jack Jumpers. I don't think he's missed a game this season. So, and people are going to say Pinder's out, and that's very true, but they've been without Pinder for a while. The calibration has already taken place. For him to come back would require greater calibration than him having been out now for what is close to sort of 7 or 8 games, a month or two of the schedule. But Majette, this is a shock to the system. So Weeks has to come off the bench into the starting lineup. Who replaces him off the bench? He's not the type of player who can deliver the ball up the court consistently every time. Doyle steps in to handle a bit, maybe Kelly, others. Isaac White has to step up. It's just too many moving parts for me. The most stable instrument or design in the universe is the tripod. Three legs, simple, no moving parts. And for me, this injury has just meant one or too many moving parts in the Jack Jumpers lineup. And so therefore, I am picking Cairns to win at home, rather predictably as well. They're at home, they haven't traveled. Cairns is an odd spot to get to as well. If you're out there, people in the know, I'd love to know how teams get to Cairns. I'm assuming if there's an airport, but that's a long flight. People forget how far Cairns is up and across the east coast of Australia, northern east coast. But yeah, I'm quite certain on this one. I think Cairns will win it rather comfortably. They move the ball and shoot a little bit too well for the Jack Jumpers to junk up the game, slow it down and mess it up. It's hard to bet against Roth, but I am. And he'll just have to deal with that. That's what I think about those two games. But more than anything, really excited to see, especially the first game. I won't lie. I'll probably just take in the fourth quarter of the second game. Just watch it on my phone as I'm out and about. But certainly the first game, I'll watch from start to finish. Really interesting. Really good. Moving away from looking at the immediacy of those games, I want to forecast something and then we'll get out of here. We're approaching the 15-minute mark. Less than the majority, have ended their season and go into the off-season and will be thinking about their roster almost immediately. I mean, Adelaide have already parted ways with Soto, so there's already contractual stuff underway. And a lot is said about the league where you build your locals patch up, the imports patch up the holes in your local stocks. That's very true. So I want to look at who are the out-of-contract locals going into next season of merit. There's a bunch, but the ones for me that are going to really drive up price. And here are some lesser, I'd say lesser. Here are the ones I don't put as much emphasis on in negotiation if I were a team. Anthony Drimmick's out of contract. The Galloway from the 36ers. I haven't got his name written. I forget which one he is. Tyrell Harrison in Brisbane. Jason Kadee's out of contract. Mirko Jeric, Majuk Deng, Ben Ayre, Mason Peatling, Jordan Hunter, Jalen Galloway, Krizlovic from Jack Jumpers. Isaac White is another guy. I quite like him. Utility punchy guard off the bench. Plenty of spirit. They're guys who I think are handy pieces. One of those, one of them could pop. I can see a Jordan Hunter having a really good year in a different situation now that he's had injuries in the past and kind of does something different. You know, he could be something different. He could have a poppy year. Mirko Jeric isn't playing. He could go somewhere and smack down some shots and do something. Jason Kadee, Brisbane's been a nightmare. He's always capable of 1-3 blowout crazy games a season where he wins it off his own back. We saw it this year where I want to say they beat Melbourne and he had 30 points or something, career high. And then Drimmick had a turnaround year. I think he really enjoyed playing in Adelaide. I don't think his life is better in Adelaide than it is anywhere else, so I think he's going to stay there. But they're the fringe guys. Here are the guys who I've got with a denoted with an asterisk. Andrew reprimanded me last episode. It's not an asterisk. It's an asterisk. Whatever. Daniel Johnson's out of contract. Very interesting player. Mid-30s. Can still score. That team was a mess. They didn't play any D. Could he go somewhere else out of Adelaide? I hope I'm reading this right and he is out of contract. But could we see someone go, yeah, we'll take a look at an older Daniel Johnson, bring him off our bench as a scoring punch? Or does he just stay in Adelaide? He's happy there. Very interesting player in free agency. Here's a big name. Keanu Pinder's out of contract. He'd be on minimum up in Cairns right now, I would say. He's going to want big money. Is he worth it? Yeah, probably. I mean, if you can get him, it shores up your athleticism. It shores up that four spot, which we've seen has been so crucial. It's no surprise that who's the top team? Sydney. They got Cooks, athletic four. Who's second in the league? Is it New Zealand? Or I'm forgetting already, but Creek. I know they're not high up the table, but he's been good. You know, DJ Hogue, bigger guy who can play. They're good. Brantley at New Zealand, bigger body four, you know, major player. So it's a real important spot. So Pinder's going to be, but he's going to be expensive. A lot of people are going to be after Pinder. The other one up in Cairns. Cairns are going to struggle next year, I think, because they're going to lose some low-value contract guys who've been really good for them. Bull Quoll, he'd be on a minimum. He's looking like a player who can give you a lot. You know, if you, yeah, he would sit along nicely along an import point guard. Really good shooter. So he's one. The other one, well, also Majuk Deng's out of contract there, but he doesn't move the needle so much for me. Deng Deng is out of contract. Really punchy, athletic guy off the bench. Good player. This might sound silly, but I think Tom Vidanovic, wherever that guy goes, teams seem to win. Plays tough, hits some shots, really big guy. Really like him. He's out of contract. Here's another big one. William McDowell-White at the Breakers is out of contract. Had a great year. Did he win him most improved? I don't know. I didn't really pay attention to that award. I'm sorry I don't put a lot of stock in it, but really good player. Does he want to stay in New Zealand? How much would Melbourne United want him and move on from XRM and sort of tee him up with Illy in a backcourt? Yeah, shucks, a lot of teams would take a good look at him. Travers. Luke Travers out of Perth is out of contract. I think any offer from a team outside of Perth is just going to raise the value of the contract. Very happy in Perth. Family's in Perth. Doesn't want to leave. You know, if he was serious about leaving and stepping out, doing his own thing, he would have been next starring and G-leaguing and all that sort of stuff, but I think he's a little too comfortable in Perth. You can see it in his play, not a real grit the teeth type of player, very contented with likes mama's cooking at the end of games, you know, before the pre-game nap and all that sort of stuff, and fair play to him. Ryan Brokoff's out of contract again with Travers. I don't think he's got any interest in moving outside of Melbourne. Who would want to move outside Melbourne? That's a great city. That's the best city in Australia. There, I said it. Nightlife's good. The beaches are terrible, but nightlife's great. But sticking on point here, Brokoff out of contract. Could someone throw money at him and convince him? Melbourne would be the only real contender. United is what I mean. Especially if Mitchell's not renewed. They have a close relationship. If he's not there, maybe a little bit of the polish comes off the Phoenix for him. And he is an impactful player. I can't believe I'm saying it because I've gone back and forth on my thoughts on Brokoff. But he can still shoot it. And teams respect him and fear him when he's out in the perimeter. And that's half the battle. It's one thing to hit him. That's obviously really important too. But to drive defenses to have concern about you is important too. And he certainly does that with his reputation. A little bit of his on-court play, but at this point, in what I've seen from him in the NBL, a lot of reputation as well. All right, everyone. That's 21 minutes of sort of surplus content. You can't be too upset. If you enjoy the podcast and you're listening for the first time, consider becoming a patron. You don't get a lot for your money, but you do get that nice feeling that you're making the world a better place. We appreciate it. Join me on Twitter at NBL Pocket Pod. If you're watching the game and have something to say during the game, do get in touch with me on Twitter. I try and respond to everyone. And when I like a tweet, it's more just a receipt that I've seen it. I may not actually like it. It's more just like, I acknowledge your existence. Like, pew. Anyway, that'll do it for me. Thanks, everyone. And Andrew and I will probably come back and dissect these games when they're done. Thank you very much.